Going to be all over the New Testament today. My scattered brain preaching always seems to have lots of scriptures spread out everywhere, but I feel like that's kind of because I like to study different things throughout the Bible, and so I have a hard time staying in one passage of scripture. If you want to turn your Bibles to John, let me find the chapter here. I believe it's 15, but let me just make sure. I have two scriptures in John. I want to make sure it's the right one. Yes, this is John chapter number 15 in your Bibles, if you want to turn there quick. But we're not going to begin reading there just quite yet. So as I was kind of looking for something to preach on and praying about it, I kind of came across a note that I had written in my where I keep notes in my devotions, and basically it was a reminder to do a study on the different one of another's in the Bible, the different things that the Bible commands us to do one to another and for each other and things like that throughout the Bible. And so I thought that might be an interesting topic to preach on. And so, I mean, of course, there are many different one of another's. I feel weird saying that, but I mean, I don't know how else to say it. There's different things we're supposed to forbear one another. And there's just, we're supposed to teach and admonish each other, one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I literally have a list of, I don't even want to count them all. Yeah, I can show you it this way. Here you go. All scripture references. Now that I scared you all, we're not going to go through all those, okay? All right. I just wanted to give you guys that sudden heart stop. We're not going to go through all those because the more I studied it, the more I realized, one, there is a lot of them, and to do a whole message on all of them in one sermon would be a lot of flipping through passages and a lot of time, honestly. And so I decided against going that, but I found what I believe to be the most important one another that the Bible states, and this is the one that's the most common. It's the one that most of the authors in the New Testament command us to do, and that's to love one another. And so I guess if you were looking for a title of a message, it would be Love One Another. And our scripture here, we'll open with reading, and then I'll pray, and then I'll kind of get into my message here. Let me just kind of find my notes here again. So beginning reading in verse number 10, it says, John 15, verse number 10, it says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Let's pray and then we'll get started. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord, for giving us your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity I have tonight to preach your word, Lord. I pray that you'd please just help me to do it in your power, Lord, that I wouldn't try to attempt to do it on my own, but I pray that you please just give me the words to say and just fill me, Lord, and I pray that you just help everyone here to get something out of it, Lord, and I pray that I just be able to say it with the right words, I pray. I pray you just give us a great night tonight, just keep everyone safe as they travel home, and just give us a good rest of the week serving you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I guess I'm just going to get right into this. I have 3 points throughout this sermon, and my first point is our call to love. Our call to love. Many people throughout the Bible, starting in the Old Testament, There are many things, but I'm just going to focus on the New Testament. Paul calls us to love many times throughout his writings to different churches in Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews. He calls us to love in all of these passages. And I'm not going to take the time to really go through here because there's a lot of other people who in the New Testament have called us. I think of Peter in 1 Peter chapter number 22. He calls us to love. John in 1 John chapter 3, and he says that he calls us to love one time there. Three times in 1 John chapter 4, John calls us to love one another. And then once more in 2 John 1 through 5. But the three people I just mentioned, Paul, Peter, and John, they all called us to love, but yet those three, they were all called by someone else. And of course we know the main person who called us to love first and foremost was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here in John chapter 15. This is the second time in John that Jesus calls us to love. The first one time is in chapter number 13. We're just going to stay in chapter number 15. Of course it says, verse number 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." And I always loved how it doesn't just say to love one another, it says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but he goes on to say, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he immediately says, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you," which he just commanded us to love one another. And so we see our call to love. Jesus Christ gave us called us to do something that the truth is our entire Christian life, we will never make it to the point where we can fully obey this call. To love one another, we might get there somewhat. We might love some people, but it doesn't just say love half of one another, or it doesn't just say love one another. No, it says, and in a way it says love everybody, love one another. Anyone who is another person, love that person. But it doesn't just say to love everybody, which we have a hard enough time doing that as it is, but he also says love one another as I have loved you. I'm reminded of the verses where it commands the husbands to love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I feel like many times we think the wife has it hard with her commandment to submit herself, which no doubt is a difficult commandment, but I think the husbands have a much, much greater commandment, because it doesn't just say to love your wife, it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it's very similar here. It says, not only to love one another, but love one another as I have loved you. And so we see our call to love, and we see just how great of a calling this truly is. Not only is it a call to love, but it's a call to love as Jesus Christ loved us. And of course, we know how much he loved us in that he gave himself for us to be the propitiation for our sin, to redeem us. He died on a cross to save us. That's how much Jesus loved us. And that is what he commands us to do to each other, to love one another as I have loved you. So we see our call to love. And then number two, we see our reasons to love. Our reasons to love, and I have different scripture references. This is kind of going to be a Bible study going kind of all over, but there are many different reasons given in the New Testament to love one another. The first one we're going to find in Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse number 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so we see reason number one why we should love one another is the law is fulfilled in love. You see so many, or not so many, but all of the commandments that God gives us, Jesus summed up into two commandments, to love God and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And again, it's one thing to just say, love thy neighbor, but he doesn't just say, love thy neighbor. Jesus seems like he always takes it a step further, and he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is, again, a statement that we could never truly do because we are too prideful. We love ourselves too much. And that's just the fact of life. That's just our human nature. And so we see that all of the law, and we can read down the list in verse number 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and the list goes on. But all those things we don't have to focus on if we would just simply love people like we should. We don't have to focus on not stealing if we have a problem with lying or stealing or cheating or anything like that. We don't have to focus on those things if we would just love people like we should. Because if I truly love others like I should, I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to say things behind their back that are going to hurt them. I'm not going to do things to people that are going to hurt them if I truly love them like I should. And so again, we see just the great responsibility we have to love one another and how truly important it is to love one another. But the second reason we should love one another is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, if you'll turn with me over there. I feel like you guys are going to beat me to it. I can't find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And then we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. So 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 12, it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. I'm not sure if you caught it, but the second reason we have to love is that our hearts can be unblameable in holiness before God. So that our hearts may be unblameable in holiness. And I can't say those words combined. In holiness to God. I lost my train of thought here. So again, like I said, we are commanded to love one another so that when Christ comes back, to bring us to heaven, we can be unblameable in holiness before God. Again, all of the law is fulfilled in the one commandment, to love the Lord thy God, to love the Lord thy God and to love others, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, we'll never reach sinless perfection. Again, we'll never truly reach that point where we can fully love others like we should. But here we are promised that if we love one another, that our hearts could become unblameable in holiness before God. And I think of the verse, love covers a multitude of sins. And I think of how true that statement must be if even right here it states that our hearts may be unblameable in holiness before God. And so, I probably should follow my notes a little bit. That might help me a little bit. I'm losing my train of thought a lot. There's a lot going through my mind right now. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I love how in verse number 12, it doesn't just say to love one another, but it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." And it doesn't say, I pray that you increase in love one toward another. It doesn't say that I pray that you yourself and your own life, that you grow. No, it says, "And the Lord." And Lord, and I feel like so many times in our life, when we'll hear messages about God's love, and we'll hear messages about things that we should do and that we shouldn't do and things like that, but we forget that nothing we can do is of any value unless it's through the Lord. And so unless we have a true walk with God, unless we are truly walking with Him, there's no point in even trying. Not that there's no point in trying, but we will never obtain anything of any value on our own. We need the Lord. And it reminds us that it says, "And the Lord make you to increase." Not you make yourself to increase, but the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And so, like I said, the second reason we should love is so that our hearts may be unblameable in holiness before God. And then we see reason number three, we find in 1 John chapter number 4. So if you'll turn over with me to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." I feel like I'm going to keep reading here. "For God," I've lost my spot though. Verse number 9, thank you. "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved of God so loved us, we ought also..." I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And again, we see the third reason that we should love is because it is proof that we're a Christian. I feel like the major thing lacking in each of our lives, in all of our churches, all throughout this whole country, the main thing lacking in everyone's life is love for others. The love that Christ showed for others. When we just think about Jesus' earthly ministry, just the little acts of love, or I shouldn't say little, the giant acts of love He had, not just for everybody in crowds. No, he singled people out. He not only loved people as a whole, He loved people individually. And He would take the time to stop, and He would heal a blind man. And He would heal a leper, someone who is filthy and disgusting, who no one wanted to even look at. But yet Jesus loved them, and He took the time to stop and not only heal them, but to preach Himself to them, to show Himself. And we know that's what He came here for, was to reveal Himself to us. But just so many times He took the time to just show God's love to individual people. And I think in my life, and just how many times I've failed to show Christ's love to others. (Clears throat) So number three, like I said, is if we would just love like God loves, it would show the world who we truly are. If we could learn to love like Jesus loved, we would make so much more of a difference in people's lives. People would not just see us as, oh, that person goes to church. We have a lot of people in our town that, oh, they go to church. We have many, almost every door I knock on in this town, it seems like, oh, I go to the Catholic church. That place must be packed. Because it seems like everyone in town goes there. But, so we have a lot of people that go to church, but what makes us different? What makes us different than the Catholic church? What makes us, and I'm not talking about, like, actually what makes us different, I'm saying to the world. What to a lost person makes us different than a Catholic? What to a lost person makes us different than a Lutheran? Than any denomination, you name it, what to a lost person makes us different? The truth is really, unless we show Christ love, that answer is really nothing. To a lost person, the only thing they're going to see different in our life is our love for God and our love for others. That's going to be the only thing. And in this world that is so hateful, in this world that is so set on arguing and fighting and bickering and disputing amongst each other, how much different would it be if we would be a light and show Christ's love to them? And again, like I said, we see just how important it is, this call to love, this commandment to love one another. Not just to love one another, but love one another as I have loved you. And so reason number three, as I already said, it is proof that we are God's children. It's the only true proof we have that we're sons of God. But if there's no love in our life, then what proof do we truly have to a lost and dying world? What proof do we truly have if we don't show Christ's love? And then point number three, we lastly see our example of love. And we could look at many people throughout the Bible who demonstrated Christ's love. We could look at Paul. I mentioned that this morning in Sunday school for anyone who was there. It amazes me in all of Paul's epistles just how many times he mentions how much he loves the people he's writing to, the churches he's writing to. He makes mention of them always in their prayer and tells them constantly that he loves them. And if we could even have a glimpse of Paul's love for people, how much different our life would be. But that's not even our greatest example of love. We could look at all the disciples. We could look at Peter and John, who they also command us to love each other, and they no doubt are great examples of how we should love others. But of course, our greatest example of love is Jesus Christ. And like I said, if we could get a glimpse of Paul's love for people, that'd be one thing. What about Jesus' love for people? What about Jesus who loved us perfectly? That's really what he's asking us to do. To love like Jesus loved us would be to love someone perfectly. In our text in John, we read the verse, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend." That's the greatest form of love that we could show, is to lay down our lives for a friend. I think of the verse in Romans chapter number 5. It says, "For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It says, scarcely for a righteous man. Yeah, very, very few people would die for a righteous man. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. For a good man, well, okay, for a perfectly righteous man, yeah, I might die for him. A good man, well, that just dropped the bar a little bit. But what about a murderer? What about a liar? What about the worst sinner you can imagine? What about yourself? That's who Christ died for. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. I'm the ungodly. That's you. You're the ungodly. We're the sinners. We're who Christ died for. And that's what He's commanding us to do to each other. Not necessarily to die for each other, but to love one another as I have loved you. And again, I love how He says after that verse, He says, greater love hath no man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friends. And then He just simply states, ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you. So I challenge you tonight. Let's get a glimpse of Christ's love. I feel like I've preached this message in different ways, in different styles a couple of times, but it just keeps speaking to me. God just keeps pricking my heart in the same area. And I feel like no matter how many times I preach it, it's still something I need to work on, and it's still something that we could all work on and do better. We could all love people better. And not just people. I feel like this message I've directed more towards love. Love the lost world is where my focus has kind of been, but the verses I've read are talking about each other. It's not talking about love the world. And of course that applies, but it's saying love one another. I read this statement a while ago, and I'll just quote this and then I'll be done. It says, the most attractive thing to a lost person when they walk in your church, the most attractive thing is the love you have for each other and God. But there's a flip side of that coin. Because the most unattractive thing to a lost person who walks in your church is your hatred towards each other and God. There's two sides to it. When someone walks in here, a first-time visitor, they're either going to notice that we love each other and we love God, or they're going to notice the opposite. And I can honestly say, even if half of us love each other and love God, but half of us hate each other and hate God, usually they don't see the love. Usually they're not focused on the small people that do love God. No, they're not seeing that. They're seeing the people that are just gossiping the whole time and talking about how much they hate each other. They're talking about the people who are sitting, or I mean, they're focused on the people who are sitting in their pews with the snarl on their face, with their arms crossed. People like that make a huge difference. And I think so thankful that there's not anyone like that in our church. And I'm so thankful that there is just such a love here that I haven't been to a tremendous amount of different churches, but the few that I have, I haven't seen what we have. I haven't seen the love that we have. But there's still so much more we could do. There's still so much more we could do to love each other, to care for each other. There's still so much more we could do to love lost people, to love this sick and dying world, to love like Christ loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends.